The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. Duffin Quarters.
It's my favourite time of the week. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Jenna, I heard it this week. Very impressive.
You like the little intro?
Yes.
Duff, you missed it, mate.
Oh, sorry, I didn't have the intro. Do you like a cheeky punt, do you, Jenna?
I like a cheeky punt, but I also... But
you have
I
to
always...
be very careful how you say that.
As a woman, I do. I tend to go on the colours of the silks.
You know what? That's as good a punt as any. My uneducated punting, largely uneducated punting, I tend to go to the racing experts. It's a bit of fun this time of year, though, when with all the Group 1s starting to happen and, you know, spring carnival, and it's a really good time of year.
Well, cows kicking up. The hand and handicap kicks off today. I'm surprised you two are even here. That's why I was alerted. I'm like, God, I better make sure that they come in. They may be up in Cal already.
There's no prizes for guessing where Steve Butler is.
Hello, Butts, if you're listening. Have one for me. I've never been and would love to. I've been to Cal, but I've never been to the racing round there, and it's one of the ambitions. I've got to do it.
Indeed, indeed. Now, massive week in footy, obviously. You had that interesting story last night about Nate, the kids from Western Bulldogs that can't
Aaron
get
Norton.
Home. Yeah.
Well, the G2G form. Look, it's not unusual. It's not isolated. A lot of people are in this boat. He just feels it because they've been tested a couple of times a week. He's been locked down most of the year. He feels it. He's done the yards, and that when their footy season ends, he wants to come home. He turns 20. He's only 20. So he turns 21 in November. His grandmother, who's very close to, is having her 80th birthday. So, look, the government, the police are saying there are no exceptions. Everyone's in the same boat. They're saying, well, we did the hard yards. We're entitled to. I think what we might find is you can reapply for these things.
Yeah.
His was rejected in 90 minutes.
Whoa.
So these things, you can reapply for them. And I think when things are relaxed a bit more next week, we might find that he has a bit more luck. Let's hope so.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Harley Bennell, what a story that's been this week, right?
Yeah, Harley. It's a concern now because I think the AFL Players Association is involved now, and their main concern is getting him back to Western Australia and getting him some help. But his football career at AFL level is definitely over. I'm not sure that he even has a future at Waffle level, because I'm not sure that anyone will want the disruption that Harley represents coming into their club. And the interesting thing about Harley is that he's actually popular amongst his teammates. Mm. You know, he's a well-liked person. He's good company, apparently, but he's one of those guys where, you know, as footballers will often use the colloquialism, one is too many and 55 is not enough when it comes to drinks. And and unfortunately, he's committed the COVID breach that has led to Melbourne reassessing what was going to be a one-year contract. So he was about 24 hours away from getting a one-year contract extension. Committed the COVID breach, Melbourne reassessed. They thought, well, maybe he should retire. And then this has set another set of actions in motion. And what it underlines is you have to be so resilient to be an AFL player, and you have to always plot your next step very carefully, because if one mistake leads to two, leads to three, leads to four, then you end up in very dangerous territory very quickly.
Excellent point, Duff. The only thing I'd add is that for Harley, I think hopefully he can find something he's passionate about, whether that's footy at Waffle level or at a lower level than Waffle level. I don't think it matters if it's something nothing to do with football. As long as he finds something he's passionate about, gets himself looked after, that's the key for him going forward. And let's hope he gets there, because as Duff said, he's very popular. It just makes... you know, one too many turns good blokes into people who make very bad decisions, and he made too many of them.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing is that, like, there will be sympathy for Harley because he's a great talent. We all wanted to see him back out there playing the sort of football he was capable of playing. But 100 kids get their hearts broken at the AFL draft every year.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you have as many chances as Harley has had based on talent and you still haven't been able to make those chances count, then, you know, karma. It gets you.
Yeah.
The sample size was small but really, really spectacular, and that's what frustrated us, because Duff and I have spoken about this ad nauseum on the podcast.
Yeah, indeed.
We just wanted to see him out there because he's one of those players who you just go the footy to watch.
He's just exquisite on the field.
He
that's
is.
The problem.
Yeah.
So, Jenna, just to put that in context, at 19, this is at 19, so this is like younger than Adam Chera and Andy Brayshaw are right now. Harley, three games in a row, playing midfield and forward, kicked three goals and had over 20 possessions in a game.
God.
So that's nine goals in three games plus the 20 possessions on top of that.
And backed it up later in the year, didn't he, Duff?
And then later in the year he had 38 and kicked four goals against Melbourne. And then the next year against Geelong he had 27 and kicked six. Now we're talking Dustin Martin, Patrick Dangerfield numbers at 19.
Yeah.
So what he could have been is mind-boggling.
Is it a question, because then you also see the really tragic story around Elijah Taylor. Mm. Is there enough being done at even a grassroots level to look after these kids that may fall through the cracks?
Oh, this is a really good question, Jenna. There's plenty of programs in place, but there's always going to be kids falling through. There's never going to be enough.
Yeah.
That's the answer to that. There's never going to be enough. Therefore, there will always be kids falling through the cracks, unfortunately.
Mm.
Simple answer.
How do you think the AFL are going to handle, or the Swans are going to handle this Elijah Taylor stuff? It's a messy situation.
Well, I think the first thing, they'll wait and see how it plays out in court, but they can now get together. He's pleaded guilty. They can now get together and probably think about something going forward. I can't make that call. That's up to the club. Mm. Pretty strong culture at Sydney.
Yeah.
They would back themselves to get him right, that's for sure. If they were prepared to, I think Sydney, Geelong's another club with a great culture, like that can rehabilitate kids.
Yeah.
So they would back themselves, Duff. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. Look, footy clubs, one of the things they'll be concerned about is there being a very bad result if they just cut him loose. Mm. So they'll want to support him and they'll want to educate him and they'll want to rehabilitate him. He's very young. He had a very rough upbringing, and there was concern. So there were actually people among AFL recruiters who were contacting the WA Football Commission when Elijah was coming through the system, and there was Elijah and there was a couple of other young Indigenous kids who they were concerned about, and they asked them specifically about those kids to please put more welfare services around them.
Yeah.
And please work on your welfare services, because we think there are issues where you're not doing enough. So I tend to think they'll stand by him. But having said that, there are a lot of factors at play here. You know, the respect for women policy is very strong within the AFL. It's very strong for a reason. Mm. And I think there's a bit to play out here.
Yeah, but also there's this story. Hopefully there is a story of a positive outcome. There's a rehabilitation story here. He's so young. You have to take in the fact that this all happened in the full glare of the media. Young kid, young couple, very messy.
So many of these stories that obviously happen without the full glare of the media as well. This is a story that's way too common, unfortunately.
Indeed. On lighter notes, Saturday, what are we looking forward to at Optus Stadium?
Well, I think it's of all the – do you agree, Duff? I think of all the four games, for me I think this is the one with the most likely outcome. You could confidently predict West Coast to win.
Okay.
Not by any means over the line. They will make a few changes, but I don't think that matters so much in this season we're having. The players haven't been – some of them haven't been out very long anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind the disruption in terms of, you know, five or six changes. But I think where they're at, where Collingwood's at, I think West Coast win this one pretty comfortably with a couple of big ins.
Yeah, I like West Coast in this game, but mainly because they can get scoreboard pressure on teams, and that's what they do better than most of the teams in the competition. When Collingwood beat them here last year, they had three goal kickers, and that's all they needed. They kicked nine goals between them. I think Majacek kicked four, I think Cox kicked three, and Dugowie kicked two. And then everyone else adds a couple in around that. If Collingwood kicked 12 goals, they're in this game up to their eyeballs.
As long as they're Collingwood and not the Washington Generals.
Yeah.
Because when they got pantsed earlier in the year, I think it was Nathan Buckley who said it was like watching the Harlem Globetrotters against after quarter time. It was 12 goals to one after quarter
12
time.
12 goals to one. So. West Coast, and Adam Simpson has said, we don't expect that to happen again. I think West Coast kicked 18-3. Like, they were kicking them from, I think one guy kicked a goal from the river.
Not that far, actually.
Yeah, but
I could probably have a pun at that.
They were kicking them from everywhere that day. It wasn't your typical day, and they got scoreboard pressure on them, and Collingwood folded up. Scott Pendlebury, who Quarters is writing a great piece on for this weekend, he didn't play that day. He's the key to their midfield. And Jordan Dugowie, who's the key to their forward line, didn't play. But that said, no one plays a ground better than West Coast plays Optus Stadium, so expect them to win.
Undefeated there this year too, you know. Scott Pendlebury, just go along to watch him if you can, because one of those players who just has time and space.
He does, doesn't he? Where's Degoe? Is he back?
Yeah. He's back and important. Had a big first week back, and second week was a little quieter. But for me, I like their forward line. There's a lot of debate about whether Mason Cox should play in that forward. I love Collingwood with Mason Cox in that
side
because he just squares them up. He's just that focal point, that target. And when the ball hits, all he has to do is bring the ball to the deck, and then the rest can get at it. But Degoe is the sort of player, and he's one of the ones who could, if Collingwood was going to win, he'll kick three.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Simple as that.
Yep. I agree.
Here's me saying true, like I know. And there's three other games. Talking about.
Do you want three quick tips for the other
yes,
games?
Yes, hit me, so we can have a
tonight.
Punch.
Geelong v Port, Dove.
Port for me.
Minor
I'm going
premiers.
Geelong.
Really?
Yeah, touched them up last time they played them. It is at home at Adelaide, so it's a bit of caveat emptor. But I'm confident Geelong. I think Geelong. I think the winner of this game. Mm. Well, you get the week's break. You go and then you. So Adelaide could play Adelaide Gabba.
Oh,
If they win this, it's whoever wins this, I think, will probably play Richmond in the GF.
Oh,
so that means you'll be tipping Richmond to beat Brisbane.
Correct.
I'm going to tip Brisbane.
Yeah,
because I get a feeling that this is a big game for the Lions, and well, clearly it's a big game, it's a final, but I think it's like a watershed game.
Well, I haven't beaten them since 2009.
Mm. God, wasn't Michael Voss playing then?
No, he wasn't quite, but
his boots were still hanging in the locker.
Johnny Brown was.
Yeah, Jonathan Brown was. So, look, I'd love to see Brisbane win in my heart of hearts because I'd like to see them progress. Chris Fagan's done a great job, their coach. Richmond's got some big. Tom Lynch is a really big out, and Harris Andrews is a really big in, as is Jared Berry for Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
That could swing it, but I just. Like the way Richmond, they just build when this time of year comes around.
And yeah.
Geez, they're going to be hard to beat. It'd
be nice to see the Lions win so they can probably get more than 2,000 people at the grand final in Queensland.
Yay. And we'll both tip the Doggies to beat the Saints.
Yeah, we are. Mike Brady's going to be performing at the grand final on his own. That's going to be a bit weird for him. It's great. I love Mike Brady, but up there, Cazale, and he looks around and, yeah.
You know, I've got
they'll all be sitting down because they're bloody banana benders that don't
no,
get
but,
it.
No, but he's the MCG. He'll be doing it solo at the MCG and there'll be a live crowd.
I've got a message for Victoria there. Like, it's in Queensland, let it go.
Yeah.
I think I'm
definitely with you.
But a grand final without up there because Ali Duff. And they should have Paul Kelly. Leaps and bounds should be played at every grand final, even though this year's not at the MCG.
Instead of high on the bridge, looking out on the hill.
Gabba.
From the MCG?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So it's the Story Bridge, perhaps?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It is a nice bridge. Too bad about the stadium, that's for sure.
That's right.
Gentlemen, thank you so much very much for joining me always. Sports editor of the Sunday Times, Glenn Quatermain, and senior AFL writer for the West Australian, Mark Duffield. We can download the latest episode of The Game, the AFL podcast with Duff and Quarters, today.
You can.
Excellent. Thanks, gents. We'll chat to you next week.